All right, good morning and welcome to the special Cinco de Mayo edition of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. This is episode 3.2, Athletic Trainers in Pasadena ISD. Can't we all just get along for Thursday, May 5th, 2011. So on the show with us today, we have Matt Babasek. He is a trainer at Pasadena Memorial High School. He is the assistant athletic trainer slash sports medicine teacher slash girls strength and conditioning coach. He also mentioned that he's a part-time counselor, a part-time big brother, part-time dream crusher, part-time this and that, whatever other thing you could possibly think of that an athletic trainer would do, he does it. So Matt is the busy guy over there at Memorial. He's worked at Pasadena Memorial High School and Pasadena ISD for 2.5 years. He's finishing up his 3 years there. And he can't forget to mention that he is a husband of a beautiful wife and father of 3 wonderful children. Excited. The youngest one is how old, Matt?
She is 5 months.
5 months, yes. So that was right in the middle of the year. So you had to take I think it was right before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Right before Christmas. So great Christmas present. So, all right, some of the things we wanted to talk about today with Matt are, Bill, you got the first thing?
Yeah. Matt, when did you first become introduced to athletic training?
Well, very similar to your last guest, Mr. Jaime Garcia, I was working as a personal trainer. I had my awesome Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology, which essentially got me into personal training, and working at a gym and realized that is not something I wanted to do. I did not see it as a career. One of our trainers there worked part-time as an athletic trainer for a minor league baseball team. So I started picking her brain. Found out about her education and realized that there was a career there. So I started looking at graduate schools in the state of Texas, and there are 2. Texas Tech has an entry-level master's program as well as Stephen F. Austin. And my wife is from East Texas, and she said if I went to Lubbock, she would not be coming with me. So I applied to SFA and luckily got in.
Nice. So you were a personal trainer. How long did you say you were doing that?
4 years.
4 years. That was after college?
Right after college.
Right after college, personal trainer, 4 years, and then decided to go to grad school, athletic trainer. All right, very cool, very cool. So getting into athletic training as a, 26-year-old, is that about right?
Yeah, I was 26.
About 26. So what are some of the first things you learned as an athletic trainer?
Well, I learned that my background kind of, it really helped me out with the rehab portion, you know, understanding corrective exercise. But kind of the first, I guess, new stuff I learned was more the therapy, the pain management stuff, ice, heat, ultrasound, stim, learning, you know, not just, hey, it works, but why.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Okay, which college did you graduate from, and why would you recommend a student trainer to attend your alma mater?
I graduated from Stephen F. Austin State University, and they have both the old internship route undergrad and then an accredited grad school. So you got 2 different options. But the head athletic trainer there's name is Sandy Miller. He's kind of a legend.
Yeah.
So he's been doing this for a long time, so a lot of experience, a lot of stories. And then our program director, Dr. Bobo, very, very, very smart. She's international now because she's traveling with the U.S. Taekwondo Olympic team. So she's in Korea right now. So she's got a lot of experience. And then our clinical coordinator, Dr. Jevis, has been all over the country and been in professional, clinic, high school, college setting. So there's a lot of people with a lot of experience in, I guess, not just the traditional settings.
So to kind of sum it up, you would definitely recommend SFA?
Yes.
For the grad school, because you didn't go to the undergrad. But, all right, very cool. Very cool. I went to HBU. There was just a straight internship program, and it was pretty play it by ear kind of thing. And fortunately, I had somebody that was really working with me there. But they've changed a lot since then, so I don't know how it is now. But now I think they have like an almost accredited program. They're working on it or something like that. But I think it would have been cool to go where you had like an actual program set up. I could have learned a whole lot more, but I learned on the job. So, All right. Bill, who did you who was your trainer? You said he was like a legend in athletic training too when you were in high school.
Eddie Lang.
Eddie Lang. And then Jaime talked last week about is it Mike O'Shea?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. O'Shea over at U of H, and then
Mr. Sandy Miller.
Sandy Miller. So between
and then
the
cool thing about where I went to college at Sam Houston, the trainer that I worked under at Sam Houston was a student trainer under Eddie Lang. So I mean it's, and he was related to Tom Wilson, which is the legend trainer at U of H. So Billy Wilson was his name. So
within the district we have a lot of legend prodigies, I would say.
Yes.
With Sandy Miller, with Michael Shea, with Ray Lang, Ray Lang's prodigy and at college. So all right, very cool. We got a lot of athletic training experience here within the district. So if you're thinking about sending your kids to Pasadena ISD, just know that they're well taken care of in the athletic training program.
Absolutely.
All right, Matt, so we just talked about you were a personal trainer for 4 years. Was that here in the Houston area? Was that?
No, I'm from Dallas, and after college, after undergrad, I went to UT in Austin. We moved back, my wife and I moved back up to Dallas, where she taught. And I worked as a personal trainer, and I really loved clients. I really loved helping them get their goals, but I really, really hated selling.
Yeah. You know. So that's a big part of your job, right?
Yeah.
You have to sell yourself to those clients to make
and
them
try to convince them to pay you a whole lot of money. You know.
So on average, it's like, what, $20 a session, $40 a session?
When my first job was at 24 Hour Fitness, and I think it was about $45 a session. And, you know, I took some of that. The gym takes some of that. And as you, they have little levels, trainer level one, level two, level three. And the higher up you were, the more you could charge. And then I moved on to Lifetime Fitness, which they actually have some, they should have some of those down here in the Houston mm-hmm. area. It was a little more prestigious. It's more like a country club. And it was, I think, I started out charging $75 a session. And when I left, I think it was $90 a session. So I kept, it was a much better gym. I liked it better. Because I kept, I think, 60% of everything in the gym took 40. But it's just still, you know, having a wife, a kid. I think we got pregnant with our second kid right before we left to grad school. So having a very inconsistent paycheck was not fun.
So were you kind of on call as a personal trainer, not an athletic trainer, as a personal trainer? Were you on call to be whenever your clients were going to work out, like if it was 6 in the morning or if it was 8 at night, you kind of had to be there at that time?
Yeah, I set up my schedule. I was one of the early mornings. I had first client at 5 a.m. And then I would, you know, put in roughly 8 to 10 hours. So I'd be done, you know, by what, sometimes 1 in the afternoon, sometimes 3 in the afternoon. I didn't like the, some trainers would work 4 hours in the morning and then come back and work like 6 to 10 in the evening. I didn't really like that. So I just did all my stuff in the morning. And if you didn't have like a scheduled client, you'd had to walk the floor, clean equipment, talk to people, or try to pick up new members, new clients during that time.
Yeah. I gotcha. So it's not just knowing how to work out or whatever. You still got to sell yourself and your services to the people there at the gym or people that you're trying to bring into the gym. So,
and you could be the worst exercise selector, have no idea what you're doing, but if you can convince somebody to open up their wallet, you know, those guys who could really, really sell did very, very well. They may not have been good at exercise at all, but if they could sell, they had a full load.
All right, so I think that all that kind of answers our, the second part of this question we wanted to ask is why you switched to athletic training. Is you realize, you know, you don't want an inconsistent paycheck, you're not very good at selling, or you didn't enjoy the selling. You had a wife and, you know, 1.5 kids at the time, so you definitely needed something more stable. And then you also said that the lady with the minor league baseball team was an athletic trainer, and she really kind of piqued your interest. Is there any other reasons you really switched to athletic training?
Well, I got dubbed the corrective exercise guy. So all of our clients who came in, like post-physical therapy, where they were, you know, they had their surgery or they had their injury and they saw the physical therapist and they got released, or they saw the physical therapist and they couldn't afford to pay for that anymore. So I, you know, was the help them not hurt so much kind of guy. And so dealing more with rehab and seeing that that was a big part of the athletic trainer's job, really that, you know, I guess intrigued or excited me the most.
Is there a reason you didn't look into physical therapy? Because that's pretty much all they do is rehab, you know, assess and then do rehab in the clinic.
When I was an undergrad, my grades were not good enough, or I was told my grades were not good enough to apply to PT school. So I never did. And then I wanted to deal, you know, I guess I kind of always wanted something involving sports. So I knew that, you know, PTs in general, it's, you know, the general population, you know, but I wanted something, you know, what I tell people now is if everything goes right, I get paid to sit and watch sports.
Yeah, so pretty much.
Not a bad career.
It's a good day when nobody knows we're there.
That's a good day.
So, all right, very cool. Yeah, that's definitely one of the things. I did an internship with a PT clinic, and I was like, I really wanted to do PT, but then after the internship, I realized this isn't really what I want to do. I mean, I don't. Those guys are definitely important, but I don't want to sit in. I don't want to work in a clinic all day. And again, it's just my personal preference. I didn't want to work with the elderly people that were having their hip replacement or knee replacement. I wanted to work with the athletes that were, you know, truly motivated to get back in there and play. And I liked dealing with the sports and being outside. You know, if I feel like I want to get up out of the office and go shoot hoops, so be it. You know, it's still part of my job. I'm still taking care of business. If I want to go throw the football, so be it. You know, that's part of my job. That's one of the great things I love about being an athletic trainer. So, all right, Bill, you got another question for him?
Yeah, Matt. How has the environment changed since you've been at your school? Like, let's say from when you first started working with Catherine till now, as far as A Memorial High School.
Well, Catherine and I have got along really well from day one. She's very, very... You know, she has a lot of experience, very good at what she does. And I, you know, being the kid fresh out of school, knowing a lot of, I guess, as people have said, fancy rehab exercises and all this new stuff that, you know, she was very, very good at administrative and organization, which that was my least favorite semester class in school.
That's kind of how ours is, too. Bill does all the, it's like the administrator, and then I kind of like teach the class.
So. You know, so I got, you know, I would deal more with the kids and with the rehab, and she took care of that, and I teach her stuff, she teach me stuff. So it was always, it was a very good symbiotic relationship. The one thing I...
Nice biology word there, symbiotic. I like that. Go ahead.
I hope that's... It's too bad tax is over.
Yeah.
That may have helped somebody. But one good thing I've seen, there's been a lot of, I guess, legislative initiatives to get, you know, more safety involved. So we've had a lot more hands-on work and helping coaches, you know, maybe learn something, hopefully, instead of just passing a test and saying they've done something. So I think I've also influenced some coaching staff to think a little bit more about, okay, maybe you don't need to run the kids until they puke after practice, and, you know, maybe let's be a little bit smarter in the weight room and, you know, think about the kids, not, you know, as a whole person, and instead of just, you know, they're not just in your sport. They've got other things to do, so you got to learn to balance everything out.
So, we've definitely seen the legislative stuff, and I think it's helped out here. As I mentioned in the last one where I was talking to Jaime, you know, our district is really, I mean, far beyond a lot of places where each of the high schools has two athletic trainers. As you were mentioning, you work with Catherine. And we are also sports medicine teachers, so we're teaching our students how to do what we do in the high school setting. And so it's really cool that we get to focus pretty much on what we do, because even if we're teaching sports medicine kids, we're refreshing what we're doing, and we're encouraging them to help us out and to learn. And as they ask questions, we learn more and are able to reaffirm what we're teaching rather than, you know, I'm teaching social studies or I'm teaching Spanish, but that has no tie to what I really I guess, got hired for. So
yeah, I know it affects us more than it affects the other schools, because actually Jeremy and I were in core classes teaching, and we didn't get to divulge ourselves fully to our job. But now this year we've been able to concentrate on athletics straight and with our student trainers fully. So I think it's paid off more for us, but it's helped y'all out too.
And I agree that our district, Pasadena ISD, seems to be way ahead of some others. Now that, you know, we have a heat policy, so you know when it is scorching hot, and you know it's high humidity, kids can't cool down. We can say, hey, you're not going to practice now, versus you probably shouldn't, and they do it anyway.
And just like our AD this past year, came and met with the coaches and told the coaches that whatever the athletic trainers say goes. You know, he gave us the backing, which was I thought was really good.
When you're coming from the top guy in athletics in your district, and he says these guys are kind of in charge, if they say something, you need to listen. Then it's pretty hard to fight.
If they
that.
Say a kid's injured, he's injured. If they say it's too hot outside, it's too hot outside. If they say there's lightning, you get off the field. You get off the field.
It's nice to see that, you know, since we all hold a health profession or a medical license, that to be taken seriously as a medical professional and not, you know, something like
it's taken 10, 15 years for us to get to where we are now. But because I remember in the older days before y'all, they were just saying that trainers were like moms and they were too easy on the kids. And why are y'all, so strenuous on wanting to, it's hot outside. When we were players, we went out in that heat. All we do is take salt tablets and that stuff. And I said, well, times are different. So
so that kind of brings us to our next subject. Now we're going to focus a little bit more on Pasadena Memorial High School and your sports medicine program. We want to talk about like the number of kids that you allow into the program, the number of maybe student trainers you have, maybe the number of sports medicine kids you have, and is there, if there's one of the Memorial kids listening, how many you allow into the program? And we'll kind of go work through some of those questions about your specific program. So just talk real quick about the numbers and the, could you max out or?
Okay. Well, right now we have one sports medicine one class and one sports medicine two class, and they both happen at the exact same time. So we have 12 in sports medicine one and 6 in sports medicine two. Athletic training-wise, during our athletic periods, we have roughly 10 kids who are either in an athletic period or come after school. Some of those kind of cross over. So right now we have roughly, 20, 25 kids. Right now we're letting just kind of anybody come into the sports med class because our numbers are kind of low. And, this year's the first year, so we're kind of taking anybody to build our numbers up. To do the athletic training, it's a little bit harder. You have to, show us that you can pass your classes, because if you can't pass, then you can't cover a sport. And
right.
That's mainly why the kids want to be there. They don't want to just be outside sweating. They want to go travel and go to games. Discipline, the same thing. If you're in in-school suspension all the time, or that doesn't help us out very much. We need your help. I think in the future, once our numbers get better, we can either start, with an application or a interview process. I guess we can restrict it a little more so it's a little more competitive. But right now we're just trying to – we've thrown the doors open and said, hey, if you want to come on.
All right, so that kind of answers the next one too. The entrance process, right now you don't have an application. They just kind of – do they need to talk to y'all and y'all will talk to the counselors, or do they just say – fill it out on their schedule request, say, hey, we want to be in sports medicine, or?
Well, we've told the counselors, explained that they have to be in sports medicine one first before they go to two, because that was a problem this year. We've had some kids jump right into sports medicine two.
And usually you have to go in sequential order.
So, yeah, right now the kids fill it out. We tell our athletes and, any kid that's worked with us, let's, try to get yourself in the class or tell your friends about it. Now, we have a lot of athletes who their junior, senior year, they're down to, they just do one sport, so that, or if they've been injured a lot, they're really interested in the class. I think we have 6 varsity athletes in Sports Med 1 right now. And those kids who maybe have figured out that they're probably not going to go to college to play sports. So, you know, if they're interested in sports medicine, whether they want to be a doctor or a PT, even if they want to be a nurse, we're trying to get all those medical kids to see that you're going to learn a lot about the human body and, you know, it's in a fun way.
All right. So you got some broken down athletes or busted up athletes coming in. And again, anybody that's interested in sports medicine at Memorial, definitely check out the class. And then that way you can at least say, hey, this is something I like. This is something that's really going to be for me later on down the road. Or, you know what, I only spent a year or a semester. It's a full-year course, correct?
Full-year course.
Same, I think it's same across the district. It's a full-year course. And so you've only wasted 2 semesters. Not really wasted. You invested 2 semesters spending figuring out that this isn't for you. So rather than wasting time in college or, you know, 4 or 5 years as a professional saying, you know what, I really don't like this, you figure it out now in high school and you still got time to change. So pretty cool. All right. Sports medicine, as far as sports medicine, do you require the kids in sports medicine 1 or 2 to stay after school?
We don't require it. We give them the option. This year we gave you know, the kids who showed an interest, we let them sign up to come help out at varsity football games. We let them do referee water. So a couple of our athletes who, you know, there are a couple of volleyball players, if they didn't have a game, a softball player, you know, in our off season, you know, they got to come out and do officials timeout, help the officials keep them hydrated. That's important. We don't need them falling over. But right now, if you're in the class, you don't have to stay after school and cover practices. That's more for the kids in the athletic training period.
All right, that's a pretty good idea. We typically will use spring football as a tryout, and the only people we'll take to games are people that are actual athletic trainers. And one of our requirements is that you're first aid CPR certified, you know, because we want everybody on the field to know that. But I think that's a pretty cool way to get kids involved.
It's kind of a tease.
Yeah, it's like, oh, hey, I'm on the field. You know, I'm getting to do this. I'm getting to run out there. I'm cool. I'm going to be on the football film later. You know, maybe on the highlight film on the website. But they're not really doing any of the other athletic training stuff other than injury prevention through hydration. So that's an idea that we might steal from you guys.
You're more than welcome to.
All right. And so now as far as athletic training students, how do y'all kind of work that? We have typically had, like, depending on the numbers, you know, we'll have 4, 5, 6 kids work one day, and then, you know, the next set of kids work another day. So maybe this group is off Tuesday, Thursday, and they work Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or something like that, and then rotate. How do y'all kind of work that system?
Well, our numbers have never been kind of big enough to split. So, you know, all the returning kids will know about coming to two-a-days before school starts. And then either they've told friends or kids, I guess incoming freshmen have heard about it. So they'll come out, you know, even if they don't, if they only show up when school starts, you know, everybody works, you know, I guess during the athletic period during school, we'll swap kids outside, some kids inside, and then they'll flip flop. But after school practice, everybody's outside. And then we have one student trainer stay inside with whichever athletic trainer is inside doing rehab that day. But those kids need to stay after school. And for them, since that's a little more time-consuming than just the class, those kids work a varsity football game. They have to cover every practice that week, go cover their sub-varsity game on Thursday usually, and then if they fulfill those requirements, they get to work the game on Friday.
That's pretty good standard. So that'll work. If somebody there is interested in finding out more about either your sports medicine program. You've already talked about talking to the counselor and, you know, putting them in. But if they're interested in finding out more about the sports medicine program or athletic training program, where are they going to find that information?
That'll be on our website. If you go to PasadenaISD.org and select the school sites, we're Pasadena Memorial High School. And then under, there's a sports zone. You click on that link and we're the very first. Under all the sports, athletic training is first because we're the most important. So with the first link, they can click on that, and it's got a little bit of information, and then myself and Ms. Vollmer's direct email. So,
all right. So again, let me just go ahead and repeat that. You go to PasadenaISD.org. You click on the left-hand side, it'll say schools. You can click on high schools. You'll click on Pasadena Memorial High School. And then it'll probably say click here for the school site. So once you click on that, it's in the middle of the page. Then you'll go to Sports Zone. And then the first thing under Sports Zone, or on the topic in the middle column, will be athletic trainers. So they're heading off the list. You know, they basically they're setting the foundation for all the rest of the sports to come. That's what I understood, right, Matt?
Correct.
All right, fantastic. Okay. Now, topping off the whole sports medicine program, how are you going to get in one sentence? How are you going to convince a student to stay after school in the heat and the sweat? You know, they're not the ones scoring touchdowns or, you know, making tackles or scoring the game when it's shot. How are you going to get a kid to stay in one sentence after school?
If you like to help people and have fun at the same time and make an impact in a lot of kids, adults' lives, and learn a lot while you're out there, it's the place to be.
All right, it's quite a long sentence, but it'll work. So basically, if you're looking to help and improve the lives of people in general, not just athletes, because actually we had one of our student trainers, I think twice she came to the aid of somebody that was in the mall and they were somewhere else. They were having a seizure, and you know, people around didn't know what she was doing, but she had been trained in first aid CPR and how to manage those things. So random, she didn't know this person, she was in the mall, just whatever, and she helped take care of that person just because of what she learned here as a student athletic trainer. So
that's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Okay, Matt, is there anything else you would like to share with the listeners or whoever would be listening to this podcast?
Yes. I tell most of my kids, even our student trainers, you know, everybody needs to take care of themselves like athletes, whether you're an athlete or not. I tell all my girls in the weight room that just basic maintenance of your body, everybody needs to get at least 8 hours of sleep, especially teenagers. Your brain is still growing. You need to drink more water, and you always need to stretch.
All right. Those are very good points. Very good.
Is there some tips we might steal? 8 hours of sleep, you know, because we kind of have a, you know, a trainer tip of the week or of the show. So 8 hours of sleep, always drink more water. You can always drink more.
So Matt gave us the tip for this week, for this show.
That'll work.
Good job, Matt.
Thank you.
What was the other
Thank
one?
You.
Oh, stretch. Make sure you stretch. That was part of our
That was our first tip, yeah.
Yeah, on our episode 2 when I interviewed Doc. So incorporate a stretching into your deal.
And a cool down. So in all your workouts.
All right, well, that'll bring us to, real quick, we're going to do our sponsors. And I got to apologize last week. On the last episode, I spoke incorrectly on the website. So recording artist J.J. Worthen has done some recording and sound consulting. You can check out his website at www.jjworthen.com. I left off the R, so it's not Wathen, it's jjworthen.com. So check him out. He's got a couple of CDs, or you can see him live at some spots. You know, check him out. He has all that stuff on his website. You can find him on Facebook or Twitter. But he's really helped us out, done some good work for us, and he kind of continues to do that as he'll listen to my our podcast and give me some tips
on ways to improve it. Yeah, he's critiquing us, so
yeah,
helping us out.
So it's good to have a professional doing that. And then, Bill, you got one more for us?
Yeah, I did this on the last one. You've got... This is for educators and, anybody that's in the education profession. It's www.donorschoose. That's donorschoose.org. And it's a great place to let people know what they need or what you need and get support and involvement. It's open to pretty much all the teachers.
Yeah,
and this has helped us get quite a few things. So.
Yeah, Matt was asking us how we got all this sound equipment here. We have a soundboard. And
well,
mic.
This is where we got it, yeah.
Yep, from Donor's Shoes. We got a camera, which we
got. Jeremy, tell our listeners how Donor's Shoes works.
All right, we'll do that real quick. Donor's Shoes, you go on there, you say, I'm a teacher. You sign up, you create an account, and then you answer questions. You create a title,
It's kind of like a grant in a way, the way they
basically, it's a grant. You do the online shopping. They have select stores you can shop from, but it pretty much has everything you need. And then from there, you enter who your students are, why they need this thing, how it's going to help them, and then you get your last little sales pitch. But all of them, the two of the sections, there's a 1,000 character limit, so it's not very long at all. And then this is put on a website for people all over the United States, all over the world, to go and look. So if I want to donate to a classroom, then I go on here and I look. Okay, I like this project. I think this teacher knows what they're doing. I'm gonna support them. And I have never met that teacher and never met those kids. Or I can search for somebody that's in my city at my high school, and I can donate to them through Donors Choose to purchase those items. And so it is really a cool thing. Like I said, we got a camera where we took some pictures of Matt here in the studio today. We forgot about Jaime yesterday.
The cool thing about it is those who donate can either stay anonymous or they can say who they are.
Right.
And if they say who they are, then that allows us to send thank yous to them.
Right. But, and then it's pretty cool because Matt was just talking to me. He was wanting to, you know, try and get some grant stuff. And so, you know, some of our God-given talents here are going to be able to be shared with other schools, with other districts, so that we can continually improve our process of educating sports medicine, the athletes, the coaches, and all that stuff, just because we do all get along. So
and that's what we're doing with these podcasts. We're helping educating people on our profession. So
yep. And then we got some other ones coming on the 3-point whatever series. We got two more sets coming. The tip for the week, we already did this in the last one, same thing. Check out our website, which is www.pasadenaisd.org/phs/athletic-training. That on there on the left-hand side will have useful links. Click on there, and it's got several different links. Now, I'm sure I'll put up some more as we work through this. If you want to contact us on that same website, which is pasadenaisd.org/phs/athletic-training, on there it has a picture of Doc, and it says contact us. And then it's got our phone number, my Google Voice number. It's got the email form. You can email Doc.
You can also follow us on Twitter, too.
PHS Trainers, follow us on Twitter. The office phone, again, if you know for some reason you can't get online, which is kind of impossible because you're downloading this online, 713-740-0310, extension 01312. This is the...
But they could be on their phone, too, so, and they're still listening to it. So,
all right, so this is the Sports Medicine Broadcast Special Cinco de Mayo Edition, Episode 3.2 with Pasadena Memorial High School's Matt Babasek. Thanks for joining us.
We want to thank you for joining us.
And I want to thank you for having me on.